Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The last 2 weeks have been interesting in terms of investor sentiment, especially with the onset of the COVID-19 Omicron variant really spooking many markets. We are seeing a significant recovery, though, for many asset classes worldwide on receding fears about how severe the Omicron variant actually is. But it'll be very interesting to see just what these sudden swings in sentiment and volatility actually mean for markets moving forward. Well, today we are joined by Mr. Olivier Dacier, who's the head of applied research at Contigo. Now, we know Contigo actually specializes in tracking some of these sudden swings in investor sentiment via their ROOF or risk on risk off scoring model. And we want to know what their scoring model for investor sentiment and risk actually is telling us about what happened over the last 2 weeks. Mr. Dacier, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Hope you're having a good afternoon.
I am. Thank you for having me.
All right. So in terms of tracking sudden swings in sentiment, volatility, and the factor of confirmation bias, these are all parts and part and parcel of Contigo's ROOF scoring model that you developed. Now, the last 2 weeks must have been fascinating to watch from where you were sitting, Mr. Dacier. What did the Omicron sell-off and somewhat recovery over the last couple of days really tell you about overall risk sentiment right now?
So interestingly, even before the Omicron news, sentiment was quite soft, at least in the developed markets. And that's due to worries about inflation and higher energy prices and supply chain, you know, gridlocks and all of that. So when the Omicron news hit, they overreacted on the downside because they thought, oh, my God, this is going to be worse than we expected. Asia, on the other hand, was quite positive in terms of sentiment before the news. So their reaction was maybe a little bit more muted, but it was also accelerated by other items like, you know, regulatory risk out of China, the listings of some of the Chinese companies in the U.S., acrimonious relationship between U.S. and China and all that. So there were other factors as well. But the interesting thing about Omicron is that now that we know that maybe, or that at least we are told, it's not as dangerous as the first one, the hope is that it will not overwhelm social systems or health systems and therefore not lead to further lockdowns. And I think that's why we're seeing the rebound right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, markets are actually expecting that Omicron may not be as bad as we previously thought. But again, we have to remember that a number of vaccine makers and scientists have warned that, yes, the initial results might be a bit promising, but we have to wait for the final results. And look, there is still a chance that things could actually disappoint. Now, we've seen these volatile swings in market sentiment in recent days, and inconveniently hinging and really on Omicron and how dangerous it is. Look, we may have no choice but to wait for more data for at least a week. But if the optimists are right, how dramatic a swing back into risk on mode might be possible? And could it be even more significant than what we're seeing right now?
It certainly could, especially because, you know, if you look at the time of the year that we're in, we're, you know, in the home stretch right now. And in the last 2 weeks of the year, usually most a lot of holidays are happening and we have very low volume, which is usually makes market more prone to overreaction. So if we get some good news and positive news, the few traders that are there are going to go bargain hunting for sure. And the lack of volume is going to drive prices up even faster than what we've seen last week, for example. But conversely, negative news or, you know, a faster spreading or more infection leading to overreaction by authorities in terms of lockdowns could also send markets tumbling back down the other way because the last 2 weeks of the year are usually very volatile because of low volume.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Now, just looking at how risk on risk off sentiments are actually scoring across major regions, it was interesting that in your recent note, the investor sentiment in Europe was the only one that did not degrade as much. But you did mention that it's mostly down to the ECB proclaiming a tolerance for looser policy next year, in contrast to other central banks. But what does this say about the quality of investor confidence, if for lack of a better term, if it's mainly dependent on some of this loose monetary policy that really has been fueling markets for the better part of, I might even argue, as far back as the global financial crisis?
That's true. I mean, obviously, what's going on here is that the ECB saying we're not going to raise rates at all during all of 2022 gives investors a little bit of relief. However, there will come a time very soon when they wonder if the ECB is not behind the curve in inflation, right? So we've seen this year, both in the U.S. and in Europe, that inflation worries and commodity price surge has been responsible for about, you know, helps explain about 50 to 60% of the returns on those markets. So obviously, this is something that investors care a lot about. In the U.S., they are already pricing in interest rate hikes in the first quarter or the first half of next year, and they'll be very disappointed if they don't happen. In Europe, they're kind of a little bit behind. They are not yet anticipating a rate hikes, but they definitely want central banks to do something about inflation. So if they're wrong about the transitionary nature of inflation, they will be held to pay later on from investors.
Indeed. We're still speaking to Mr. Olivier Dacier, the head of applied research for Contigo here on Money FM 89.3. And we're trying to take stock of the state of investor sentiment across major markets across the world. Coming back to Asia and, you know, looking at market sentiment that also declined, I want to ask how much of this might be connected actually to what's going on in the U.S. markets. Is this simply a case of Asia following the lead of Wall Street for lack of anything else substantial to set the tempo? Or am I being oversimplistic about how I'm reading Asian market sentiment at the moment?
I think there's a little bit of that, but also, you know, Asian investors and emerging market investors in general look back at what happened in the global financial crisis, and afterwards there were huge fund flows to Asia and emerging markets. So they've been waiting for those. They've been quite bullish and taking on a lot of risk tolerance in their betting, waiting for these funds flows, who actually never materialized. They never showed up. Why? Because people are getting great returns staying at home. Why go and take a higher risk in the emerging markets when you're getting great returns at home? So sooner or later, sentiment here is going to start to decline because no one showed up to the party. And if Omicron throws a wrench in supply chains, and if interest rates in the U.S. go up and there's a lot of U.S.-dominated debt out here, then I expect sentiment will turn sour very quickly.
You know, I'm glad you brought up U.S. dollar-denominated debt and offshore bonds, because that seems to be the talk of the town, at least, or the country of mainland China at the moment. And I can probably count three major reasons why China is a bit, it's causing a bit of a sense of caution. We are looking at those rising producer prices out there, concerns about these defaulting bonds, and also some of these issues about the state of Chinese tech companies coming with pressure coming from both the U.S. and China. How much of all of these concerns that I mentioned might be factoring in some of the risk aversion seen closer to home? And is this affecting risk aversion across broader Asia as well?
I mean, clearly regulatory risk is always there when it comes to China. But I think investors got a little bit of good news in recent days, in the sense that the central bank, the Bank of China, has been relaxing some of the reserve requirements, therefore injecting liquidity in it. They've been trying to help, you know, Evergrande and others try to find solutions to their credit default risk problems. So it seems, at least from an investor's point of view, that the regulators in China have a low appetite for defaults and therefore will try to find a solution and help markets out. So I think that's lifted sentiment a little bit. But it's a dangerous game to play because you're setting bad precedent for others.
Indeed. And, you know, I want to latch onto that phrase you used, a dangerous game to play. You know, we've been through a lot this year, actually, in terms of investor sentiment, ups and highs and lows for 2021. And usually when you come to the tail end of a rather challenging year or period, you tend to see people perhaps run out the clock, Olivier. With gains looking a bit rattled and only a few weeks till the end of the year, do you think investors might play more defense, perhaps, and just maybe perhaps preserving gains and prevent from getting scored on? And how might this actually play against expectations of a potential Santa Claus rally?
So gains have been there, but they've been uneven, right? So the
Indeed.
U.S. is still sitting on, you know, pretty much 12 to 15% gain. So that's a nice thing to lock in and protect if you've got it. Europe is also somewhere in the low teens or thereabouts. But Asia and emerging markets are still net negative year to date, right? So in those markets, I think what you're likely to see is investors try to find any reasons to bet the farm, so to speak, to try to get performance back into positive before the end of the year. And the clock is running out for them very soon.
Olivier Dacier, head of applied research at Contigo, thank you so much for joining us today to help us better understand the state of investor risk sentiments across regions and what we might expect and how this might play in shaping the outlook and the end to what's been a very memorable but challenging year for global markets. Olivier, as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these challenging times. And we look forward to next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, stay safe. And I hope you have a great weekend ahead, sir.
Thank you. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.